Hello, and welcome to The Tish. I'm Dina Weiss. Hashem said to Moshe, I have a good gift in my storehouse, Matana Tova. It's called Shabbat, and I want to give it to Israel. Go and tell them about it. This story is lovely and touching, but it's a little confusing. Why is Shabbat being called a gift? Certainly all of the mitzvot that we get from God are a gift. And also, if it's a gift, isn't it good? Why does God need to specify that the gift that he's giving is a matana tova, a good gift? Presumably, the gifts that we give are good. The Lev Yisrael acknowledges this and he says, yes, all of the Torah and the mitzvot are gifts from God, but they don't all have this quality of being a good gift, because the gifts that we have that are not Shabbat are all gifts with strings attached. If I am very educated, it is my responsibility to educate others. If I am very wealthy, it is my responsibility to give tzedakah. If I am trying to establish the date of a particular festival, that's actually something that the human being, the human court, needs to put into motion. If we don't declare the festival isn't going to happen. And what makes Shabbat a good gift, a uniquely good gift, is that according to the Ohev Yisrael, it is the only gift that we have where there are no strings attached. I don't have to pay Shabbat forward. My only responsibility when it comes to Shabbat is to accept and to appreciate it. And this is a very lovely sentiment and totally at odds with my experience of Shabbat. In my experience of Shabbat, I feel like I put in a tremendous amount of effort into what we often refer to as making Shabbat. I don't feel that Shabbat is an easy gift, that all I have to do is sit back, accept, and receive. I actually think of Shabbat as something that I put a tremendous amount of thought and labor and finances into making happen week in and week out. So the Ohev Yisrael's perspective is a nice corrective to my approach. And he says to me, everything that I'm doing to cook for Shabbat, to clean for Shabbat, to invite people to go out, all of those elements are helpful and they're beautiful, but they're actually not necessary. And they actually aren't what make Shabbat special. Shabbat is special on its own terms. And I might enjoy Shabbat more if I was willing to accept that. If I was willing to do a little bit less to make Shabbat, I might actually find that the Shabbat that I have makes itself, that it is inherently a good gift to have a day off, to have a day that is set aside for me to think about spiritual questions, to have the space to be in relationship with God. And those elements are actually elements that I don't create. They're elements that I receive. And this insight brings me back to another small detail in the story that the Ohev Yisrael does not pick up on, but to me is very noticeable. Not only does God tell Moshe, I have this gift, he says, tell them about it. He doesn't say, give it to them. He says, tell them about it. And I think that it's possible that the reason why God tells Moshe, you need to teach the people about this gift, is that there's something about the nature of this gift that is so different from the kind of gifts that they are accustomed to receiving, the kind of transactional nature we live in with everyone, including God, that God needs to tell Moshe, part of what it means for you to give the people of Israel this gift of Shabbat is to also explain to them the nature of this gift, that this is a unique type of giving that I'm doing, where all I want is for them to accept and enjoy this privilege of having Shabbat. They do not have to give anything back to me. I do not want them to give anything back to me. Let them know that this gift is special. This is a gift that they do not need to reciprocate, This is a gift that they only need to receive. But beyond Shabbat, I think this notion of a good gift is something that's very challenging and very important. Because often when we think about gifts, we do think about reciprocalness. You invited me to your wedding, I give you a gift. You bought me a gift for my birthday, I buy you a gift for your birthday. And there is some sense that gifts come with tremendous obligations. If you give me something, I'm beholden to you, and I'm waiting for the next opportunity to be able to give something back. And the Oiv Yisrael says, that's a gift, but that's not a good gift. The good gift is the gift that is entirely without strings attached. And when we give, we should try our best to give in that mode where we really, truly, and deeply do not expect and do not want to receive anything in exchange, where the gift itself is gift enough. And to bring it back to Shabbat, I often think about the culture that we have of inviting guests. And there is some currency of, I owe you a meal. That if I invited you to my home, there's an expectation that within the next, say, 2 to 3 months, you are going to invite me back. And if you don't invite me back, there's some obligation there that has not been met. And I think the Oiv Yisrael is saying, you're sullying your invitation when you have that attitude. Enjoy the presence of guests at your table. Enjoy giving a gift that does not come with strings attached. The only gifts that we have that are pure are gifts where we really do not expect anything in exchange. And Shabbat should be both a model and an opportunity for us to give and to receive in that way. Now that we've concluded our journey through these different Hasidic thinkers, I wanted to reflect for just a moment on how we got here, how I got here. These podcasts began as a sabbatical project where I took a year sort of off and sort of on to explore some of the more foundational aspects of Hasidic thinking and Hasidic literature. And I devoted myself to learning through this certain set of books, hoping that it would give me the deep foundation that I would need to teach these texts on a higher level and in a manner that was more aware of where one particular idea fit into the larger canon of an individual's thinking. But as I was thinking about turning some of my learning into a concrete project, it actually went in a very different direction, where instead of trying to articulate a person's entire philosophy, what I found myself doing was gravitating towards very specific and often, for that thinker, somewhat idiosyncratic ideas. And the language that I used for it was that I'm panning for gold, right? That there's a lot of thinking and ideas and concepts that are very complex, but in all of the sort of larger ideas, there was always something small and glittery that stood out for me, not because it was necessarily foundational, but because it was something about it that was beautiful and something about it that was touching. And I realized that if I approach this podcast project the way that I approach teaching a regular class, what I was going to do was say that those glittery moments weren't important, that those glittery moments were kind of blips that were minor, right, in the grand scheme of what this person is trying to articulate and what this person is trying to accomplish. And so what I decided to do was to actually take the privilege of what a short podcast could do and say, what we're going to do is actually ignore as much as is necessary, right? The larger context, the philosophical ideas that undergird everything, and just really go and concentrate on those small moments and the little lessons that they can teach us. And I hope that all of you, you know, have an opportunity to take a really solid introduction to Hasidic thought class, and that you found the ability to just quickly tap in to a beautiful idea and then proceed on with your day to also be, you know, an extremely valuable and deep way to engage with these, I think, you know, very unique and very lovely ideas.
This episode was produced by Sam Greenberg, Effie Unterman, and Jeremy Tabak. Thank you to David Chabinsky for recording and editing this episode. Music for The Tish is from Hannah Raskin's debut album, Raza Capella, produced by Rising Song Records.